Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
Being an influencer for God. You know, last time I talked about Peter, Peter was a profile of leadership. And you look at Peter's life and you'd think, what a screw up. Well, think about us, how many of us were screw ups too? Peter was. Some of you may remember when we had the marriage seminar down at Youth Haven Ranch, and we took these tests for our personalities. Now, my wife's not in here, so okay. Anyway, we took these tests, and Cantalos, were you guys there at the time we took that test? Okay. I don't think anybody in here was there. Bill, you were. Remember those tests we took? Anyway, there was a golden retriever, and the golden retriever was a type of personality that they couldn't. I know golden retrievers, and they can't make up their mind what they want to eat. They go back and forth. And so Daryl and Gloria wouldn't mind me saying this, but Daryl and Gloria were golden retrievers. It was so funny because when you travel with them, they'll go, well, what do you think, honey? Well, what do you think? Well, what do you want to eat? Or what do you? And so I would make decisions for them and say, well, let's eat this. How many know what I'm talking about? Nothing wrong, but different personality. And then you had the beaver that was working all the time. These people, they were very strict and stringent about rules and regulations. Well, that left me out. So anyway, then you had that, and then was another one. The otter, the lion, and then I think there was four of them, wasn't there? Okay. Out of the whole group of people, I don't know how many we had there, 60, 70 people, there was only two otters in the whole thing. It was me and Doug. We're the only otters. Otters are the ones that like to have fun. They like to play. They just like to have fun all the time and do crazy things. And it was just us two that were otters. But you could have a little of each of the personalities. But it's amazing how God has made all of our personalities different. One's not better than the other. They're all important. And so we saw Peter's profile as a leader. And you're thinking, Peter's going to be a leader? Peter became one of the great leaders of that time. So now we're going to do a profile on his brother Andrew. And whoever talks about Andrew or looks at things about Andrew, because we read mostly about all of them, but there's some things that you're going to see about Andrew that's important to the kingdom of God. So let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 13. After this, Jesus went up into the high hills to spend the whole night in prayer to God. I agree. At daybreak, he called together all of his followers and selected 12 from among their tribe. And he appointed them to be his apostles. Here are their names: Simon, his name is Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, known as the fiery political zealot, Judah, the son of James, and Judas the locksmith, who later betrayed Jesus. Okay? So what we see here is a total group of misfits. Think about it. Jesus chose, you notice that Jesus didn't choose any of the religious people because they were already set in their ways and believed what they wanted to believe, but their hearts weren't changeable. And God needed men and women that their hearts would be changed towards him. So there was different personalities, and they all came from different backgrounds. The people Jesus chooses today don't all look, act, or sound alike. All of us have different personalities. That was the first ministry that Jesus established as apostolic. So every one of us have different personalities, and God can use us in so many ways with our personalities. The word influence means the capacity to have an effect on the character, development or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. That's what influence. It's a person with the capability to have an effect on someone, either for good or bad. So we know the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. Whoever you hang around is eventually going to corrupt you or affect you. Whoever you hang around that is good is going to change you and bring you to a higher level. So be careful who you hang around, because bad company corrupts morals. And it's a true fact. What spirits on them is going to get on you. If you're around a bunch of gossiping people and bitter and strifeful, you're going to be the same way. It's going to catch you. And a lot of people say, well, I'm immune to that. I can do this, this, that. No, you can't, because eventually it's going to affect you. So you have to be around those people of influence that are going to build you up and they're going to encourage you. Doesn't mean that you can't be friends with somebody, but they're not your fellowship. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can be friends with everybody. You can love on them and everything, but there's times that you have to pull away and they're not your fellowship. Your fellowship was with your brothers and sisters that are going to be great influence in your life. So remember that, people, that bad company corrupts it either way. Good company will bring good things into your life. Influence is one of the most overlooked and underestimated forces that we don't even think about. But every year, how many have ever been grocery shopping and you see the Time magazine, the 100 most influential people in the world? And you're looking at all these 100 people on the front. I've seen them on the front, the influencers of the world. And when you look at them, their lives are in shambles, and their lives are in messes. They're on drugs. They're messed up in life. They've been through so much stuff in their life, but they're the great influencers. And when you think about that, who are we influencing? Who is our influencing? So when you see that magazine, you're looking at them going, really? Wow, if you knew what this person's background was, the greatest influence they could ever have is having Jesus come into their lives. You and I can identify with people in our lives greater impact than those in that magazine of the 100 influencers. Trust me. Almost every one of us can point to someone who had influence in our lives. Now think about that. Who influenced you to be who you are? Listen, it can be a father. Maybe some of our fathers weren't a great influence. Could be a mother, could be a pastor, could be a close friend, perhaps. Maybe somebody that led you to Christ. Could be anybody. But when you think about influence, who really stuck out, I think about two people in my life. One was my stepsister, who influenced me to find Christ, even if I made her life miserable. Even when I laughed at her face and said, I'm never going to church with you, so leave me alone. Well, I'm praying for you. Well, you can pray for me all you want. I'm not going to church with you. Don't ever say I'm not doing something. I went to church with her. And I liked it. And the other one was a teacher that I had at Bible college named Paul Davidson. We called him the Apostle Paul. He was a missionary in China during the Boxer Rebellion in the 1930s. And he was one of those teachers he would get up at 4 o'clock every day, 4 to 8, to study the Word of God. During the summer, when people were coming back to school in the fall, he would hold a class and do the book of Acts. He was the greatest in Romans, all the epistles. He was a teacher of teachers. People from all over the United States would come to North Dakota, Ellendale, North Dakota, a little tiny Bible college they bought for $1. $1. And they would come from Florida, all over the United States, to sit under this man just to hear him talk. So He was a great influence in my life. Now, he wasn't your greatest person that you could go to and get counsel. Candy went to him one time and says, she was talking about me. And she says, I don't know what to do about him. She goes, what do I do? And she's pouring her heart out to Brother Davidson. And she's just telling him everything. And all of a sudden, you know what his counsel was? He said, that's why God gave you knees. Get on your knees and pray. She thought to herself, she walked away and she goes, that's not what I want to hear because I'm already on my knees praying. And so talk about influence. He was one of the influencers in my life that I could ask him questions about anything in the Bible, and he was there. He loved to hunt, and we would go pheasant hunting, and you got to know, Aberdeen, South Dakota was just right over the border, was the pheasant capital of the world. And I mean, we went deer hunting together. We went pheasant hunting. We went duck hunting together. And the whole time, he talked about the things of God. He did that all his life. He was a great influence to a lot of people around the world. And so think about this. Who influenced your life? Andrew, one of the 12, made things happen. He was a great influencer. And you know what? He was a great impact player for God. Now look at this. Write this down. We know Andrew was a seeker of the things of the Lord. He was a seeker of the things of the Lord. One of Jesus' first followers was Andrew. Very first follower was Andrew. Isn't that amazing? John 1:35 says this. The very next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. Now, John is talking about John the Baptist, okay? Was there again with two of his disciples as, now, I like this, as Jesus was walking right past them. See, John's his cousin. John the Baptist. It's his cousin. He walks right past John. And I kept thinking, well, Lord, John, here's John. And you walk right past him and just keep on going until John says something. Now, one thing about Jesus, he was on a mission when he was on earth, but he always stopped and listened to what people had to say. Isn't that amazing? Even John, he knew John was important, but he had a mission, his own mission to do. Now watch this. John gazing upon him, pointing to Jesus and said, look, there's God's Lamb. And as soon as John's two disciples heard this, they immediately left John and began to follow a short distance behind Jesus. Then Jesus turned around and saw them were following him and asked, what do you want? They responded, Rabbi, which means master teacher, where are you staying? Jesus answered, come and discover for yourselves. So they went with him and saw where he was staying. And since it was late in the afternoon, they spent the rest of the day with Jesus. Now, verse 38 says this. Then Jesus turned around and saw they were following him and asked, what do you want? Now, you don't think about that question very much, but I'm going to tell you something. Here's Jesus walking by on a mission for his Father in heaven. And the two stop him, and he goes, what do you want? You know what? God, that's the first recorded saying of Jesus in the Gospels right there. It's a question, now think about this. It's a question that we should ask to every follower of Jesus. What do you want in following me? If Jesus was going to ask us and say, Al, what do you want in following me? Every one of us might have a different thing that we could say. There might be people in the world that if Jesus stopped and said, what do you want? Well, I want to be a millionaire. Well, I want this, I want that, or I want a nice car, or I want a nice house, or I want all these things, you know, and what do you want? Jesus asked the question. And sometimes we got to ask ourselves, what do we want for ourselves? If Jesus was asking us, what do we want? Do I want a ministry? Do I want answers to prayers? These are all good things. Or do we simply want to be with him? Now, Andrew chose to be with him. When Jesus asked him, what do you guys want? He said, where are you staying? That tells me a lot about Andrew's heart, that Andrew wanted to be with him. Their answer, where are you staying, shows that they were seeking only him. They were seeking only him. He was a disciple of John the Baptist and had an inquisitive mind. Andrew had an inquisitive mind. He was a seeker of the truth. He wanted to know Jesus. And if you ask that same question to a lot of people, they'd get a lot of different answers. What do you want? What would I do if Jesus walked, Keith? What would we do if Jesus walked up and said, what do you want? I mean, we could be dealing with everything in our lives. We could need healing, and all these are good. Don't think that Jesus wouldn't do it. He would. But most of all, I want to know you in the resurrection of your power. I want to know Jesus. I want to know you, Lord. I want to seek your face and know you. That's the question that God is asking the world today. What do you want? Andrew's encounter with Jesus was a result of his desire to be faithful and sincere to Jesus in his faith. That was his desire. He was the first one to follow Jesus. Write this down, B. We know Andrew was a finder. He brought others to Jesus. You talk about influence. John 1:40. So it continues on to the verses we read before. And here's what it says. One of the two disciples who heard John's words and began to follow Jesus was a man named Andrew. He went and found his brother Simon Peter and told him, we have found the Messiah. We have found the anointed one. We found him. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet him. Huh, how many knew that? It was Andrew that brought Peter to Jesus. So talk about influence in his own family. He brought Simon to meet him. When Jesus gazed upon Andrew's brother, he prophesied to him, you are Simon, and your father's name is John, but from now on you will be called Cephas, which means Peter the Rock. Andrew followed Jesus to where he was staying and then went to his brother Peter and told him they had found the Messiah. God is looking for us to be influencers to bring in others to Jesus. That's our call, every one of us. There isn't one person in here that's exempt from that. But we can be a great influence on other people's lives about bringing them to Jesus. That's what Andrew did, his own brother. I led my brother to the Lord. Then my brother led a bunch of people to the Lord. And then it kept going through the family. And everyone, 8 people in our family are all born again, following the Lord. Just get on the text messaging. It's all praying for this, and we're decreeing this, and it's just solid. Sometimes I got to turn my phone, and it goes, go ding, 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 you know. Kenny knows. And that's good. I'm so glad, because God is looking for influencers. Reaching people and bringing people to Jesus. I think about my early years when I brought people to church. I kept bringing them, and they kept getting saved. And I'd bring my friends, they'd get saved. And I'd bring them to a meeting. Like I said, I would use the church basement and show Thief in the Night. Mark Schenker said, yeah, I remember that one. It's an old movie, Thief in the Night, about the rapture. Anyway, I kept bringing people to the church. All my friends, we're going to go see a movie. Pastor, can I use the basement? Go right ahead. He was happy. And I kept bringing friends. influencing them to bring him to Jesus. That's what Andrew did. Andrew influenced his brother. Now, when you begin to see this, we see Andrew finding people for Jesus on three different occasions. Write this down. Number one, we know what Peter was the first one. The second one, Andrew's second find came as was his concern for the needs of others. Not only was Andrew a great influencer, but he was always trying to find a way to bring people to Jesus, but he was always concerned about somebody else. Lord, help us to be like that. Help us sometimes to get our eyes off of self. Lord, teach us to get our eyes on other people that are less fortunate than us. How many know what I'm talking about? And begin to be an influence on their life for change. So the concern was demonstrated when the 5,000 needed to be fed. We see 5,000. And there was not enough food to go around. Now look at John 6. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Jesus already knew people he would multiply the fish and loaves, or whatever they had. Didn't matter. He'd multiply it. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Now, doesn't that sound like us? Well, Lord, no matter how many jobs I do, it's just never going to happen. Sometimes you need God to do multiplication in your life. Do a miracle. He still does miracles. Because when we fall short and we can't do it, God can. And he can pick it up. So then he says this. Then Andrew. Everybody say, then Andrew. Then Andrew. How many know what Andrew means? Did you know what Andrew means? Manly and brave. That's what it means. Andrew means manly and brave. Now, have you ever known somebody in your family when you were wanting to get the car and you were scared to ask dad, so you sent somebody else to ask him for the car? Can you imagine in my family? There's those people that they go, "I don't want to ask him. You go ask him." "No, you go ask him." "No, you're braver than me, man. Go for it." I used to do that to my brother. You know, the night that we were late 5 minutes and my dad was in the window smoking a cigarette and that's all you could see was the glow of the cigarette. I said, "We're dead men walking." As soon as that door opens, he's going to nail us for being late. And we knew it. And Rodney goes, I said, "Rodney, you go in first. That way, if you go down, then I can run by and sneak downstairs." So he goes up to the door and he grabs the door handle and he's going, all right, I can do this. Opens the door and my mercy, you thought we were going to get killed. My dad was so angry. We're 5 minutes late. But when he used to drink, boy, I tell you what, he'd just get mean. And so we're sitting there, and we're walking. And we stood there for about 5 minutes listening to my dad cuss and swear and mad and everything else. And finally, we walked downstairs. And that's kind of the same thing, you know. We need somebody to go ask him. And so Andrew was that type of person that would go to Jesus and ask him anything. And we'll see this in a second here. Now, look at this. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? At least he found the kid with the food." Maybe in the back of his mind, he knew Jesus could do something. But he didn't know, and little doubt creeps in. Well, what's that going to do? Well, that's what Jesus was looking for. So Andrew locates the boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He was aware of the people and their needs and saw them not just as the crowd, but people that had need. That was Andrew. He wasn't looking at people the way everybody looked at him, but he didn't see a crowd. He saw people that were in need. God, help us to be like that, to see people that are in need, not just another person, but people that have need. Help us to be like that. Help us to do that. And so from this finding, we see Jesus perform the greatest miracle of with limited food and fed the 5,000. I'll guarantee you, Andrew, it sparked his faith. Third point, write this down. The third time Andrew found someone for Jesus was when the Greeks who desired to see Jesus approached Philip and him. John 12:20. Now there were a number of foreigners from among the nations who were worshipers at the feast. They went to Philip, who came from the village of Bethesda in Galilee, and they asked him, "Would you take us to see Jesus? We want to see him." So Philip went to find Andrew. Why did Philip go to find Andrew? Why didn't Philip go to Jesus himself? Who said chicken? Did you ever read that and wonder why? Why did he go get Andrew? I don't know. My thought was this. Because Andrew's so bold and brave that maybe Philip didn't want to go to Jesus by himself, because Philip's a different personality, and we'll probably talk about him. So Philip goes to Andrew and says, "Andrew, these guys want to see Jesus. You go talk to Jesus. Let's go to Jesus together." And so he gets Andrew, and they go to Jesus, and they talk to Jesus about these people that want to see him. Or maybe was it because when they fed the 5,000, Philip said, "If we worked all this, we wouldn't have enough money to buy food." And Andrew was there and said, and spoke up and said, "But we have a boy here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Would that have been an influence on Philip to say, "You know what? Andrew's better at this than I am. Let's get Andrew. He can go to Jesus." It's kind of like the same thing. "Well, you go ask Dad. I'm not going to ask him. He always turns me down. But he'll give it to you because you can sit there and cry and he'll give you the car." The puppy dog face would always get it. "Well, I'll go to Dad. He'll give it to me." "Well, probably. He'll give it to me because he knows how I might mess up the car, crash it." But I believe that was Philip going, "Hey, Andrew, let's go to Jesus. You tell Jesus." So Philip went to find Andrew, and then they both went to inform Jesus. In each case, Andrew acknowledged, invited, and encouraged someone to come to Christ. Now, see, write this down. We know Andrew was a keeper. He was needed in the kingdom. Can I say this? There isn't one person in this place that's not important to the kingdom of God. I don't care what your personality is. I don't care where you've been and where you came from. All that matters, would you be willing to say yes to the Lord? Andrew was that type of person. Andrew was like that. Not only was Andrew a keeper or important to the kingdom of God, but you know what? He was a keeper of faith. He had in Jesus himself. Andrew, do you know that Andrew was crucified like his brother? Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified too. Mark 13:3. Let's look at this. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives across the valley from the temple. Peter, James, and John and Andrew came to him privately. Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to him privately and asked him. I like that about Andrew. He didn't mind going to Jesus, said Jesus. He didn't want anybody around. He just wanted to be with Jesus and spend that time with him and ask him questions. You know, that's good. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be like Mary that lays at his feet and listens to him. And not like Martha, that not that she was wrong, but she was so busy doing things that she was missing the whole point when Mary was spending time with the Lord. So we see here that this was so important that he came to him. Verse 4 says, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to be fulfilled? Andrew was one of the disciples who sat upon the Mount of Olives against the temple and asked Jesus about the end times. That's what Andrew did. None of the other people asked him. Andrew did. Said, what's going to happen in the end of the world? He was so inquisitive about the things of God that he was manly and brave enough to go to God to get the answer. Well, I don't want to ask the Lord that. Why not? Well, we think that God's not going to hear us. And God wants you to ask him. God wants you to ask him these things. Andrew was more concerned about the work than being recognized as a worker. Now get this. Or feel like he needed recognition. That wasn't Andrew. Andrew kept the faith and lived in the shadow of others who were much more important or higher up, beginning with his own brother Peter that he led to the Lord. He didn't care about that, being in the shadow of all these great people, Peter, James, and John. Andrew could have went up to Peter and go, man alive, you got a better ministry than me. Jesus likes you more than me, and I'm the one that led you to Jesus. He wasn't like that. He was an influencer. He was one of those people that kept bringing people to Jesus. Can you imagine how Andrew must have felt as the day of Pentecost unfolded? And what about Peter? Peter was the first one Andrew shared the news with in finding Jesus. This had such an enormous impact, that compelling force, that thousands came to Jesus because of Peter. But what if Andrew would have never brought Peter to Jesus? What if he never would have influenced him? Peter was greater than Andrew in a sense of what he was doing, but that didn't bother Andrew. He wasn't insignificant or didn't feel threatened at all. He was a part of the kingdom of God and did what Jesus told him to do. When we can understand that as Christians, that not every one of us are going to have the same ministry. We all minister in different ways to people. We all influence people different. But we influence them to change and to bring them to Jesus. Andrew, I'll guarantee you, was so excited. There's my bro. He's leading 5,000 people to Jesus. I got to be a part of that. Wow. Can you imagine the people that led great people to the Lord, that reached thousands and thousands and were an influence in their life? They're so happy that they got to be a part of that other person's ministry. Isn't that awesome? So we see Andrew as a great influencer, a profile of influence. His whole concern was for other people, bringing people to Jesus, asking Jesus questions, seeking out the Lord more than anything. He didn't care if he fell in the shadows. He didn't care if his brother was higher up in the ministry than he was, or he was leading all these people to the Lord, because he knew he had a place in the kingdom. Did God love him any less? No, he loved him just the same. He loved him just the same. And so we see the life of Andrew And remember this, you never know what your single, simple witness may bring to somebody else. What kind of witness are you leaving to people? What kind of influence do we leave? See, these are things, beloved, that we need to think about. Now, I know sometimes we, you know, in our past, we may not have been a very good influence. We messed up. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. But you know what? We keep moving forward, and we keep saying, Lord, help me to be an influencer in your kingdom. God can and will use each and every one of us, just as he did Andrew, to reach others for Christ. So my question is, who are we influencing today to change for the kingdom of God? When you think about that, Lord, help us to be influencers like Andrew. Help us not to be concerned about the limelight, what ministry that we have or we're not going to have, but help us to bring people to Jesus because of who we are. That's the greatest thing that we could ever do. You know, one day I kept thinking to myself, oh, I can't wait. I want to be a pastor of 1,000 people in a church. I'm not kidding you. We have all these ideas when we're in Bible college. Well, kind of like Peter, James, and John decided who's going to be the best in the kingdom. And you guys are comparing with other people. And we're talking about, yeah, I'm going to have a bigger church than you. Yeah, me too. And then when you really get out to ministry, you find out that it's not what it's about. It's not about how big your church is or how small your church is. This, it's about being an influence in the kingdom of God no matter where you're at. It's about marketplace ministry, ministering to people, influencing people on a level, sometimes without even saying anything. To be the greatest in the kingdom is to be the servant of all. Andrew was a servant. Andrew was a servant. He went to Jesus privately, sat down, said, hey, Jesus, tell me when the end times are coming. Just the fellowship between them. While Peter was sometimes shooting off his mouth, how the Lord, I'll do this for you, and messing up, Andrew was behind the scenes, gleaning and picking and taking and influencing others. You got to see this guy. You got to meet the Messiah. He's awesome. He's awesome. Just different personalities. And God wants to take all our personalities in this place here and use us in such a mighty way. Don't ever think that your life is over, that you're never going to. Pastor, you don't understand. I screwed up my life. I was a bad influence. I did, blah, blah. Who hasn't? We all have. We all didn't do it right. But we can do it right with the help of the Spirit and with the help of the Lord. Amen? We can do this. So the blessing of the bikers is the greatest time that we can influence those people to change and bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. To be out there and talking to people and asking God for them to come to you and just pour their heart out and say, would you pray for me? It happens. When we used to have the kids serving coffee, they'll never forget this. That impressed those bikers more than anything. Remember, Shauna? These kids were pouring coffee, man. They were carrying coffee and pouring it to everybody out there. That spoke volumes to them. Why? The same Andrew did. He was concerned not about the crowd. He was concerned about the needs of the people. It's not just a crowd, but there's needs. And only we can be influencers to love on them, to influence them, to come to Jesus. Amen. Amen.